Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Conscious Power.
Oh yeah, thank God very much,
Have a seat, have a seat, have a seat, have a seat, and calm down, y'all. Thank y'all all right here. Thank y'all for tuning in right here to Culture Freedom Radio in the house, y'all. Oh, yeah, we sneaking in the house, y'all, right here on a Wednesday night, y'all. This is Wednesday, November the 14th of 2012. Culture Freedom is show enough in the house, y'all. Show enough in the house on this cold, goddamn, y'all. I did say cold night. But hey, we're going to get it warmed up right here tonight, y'all, right here on Culture Freedom Radio. Oh, man, we have something real good coming up for y'all tonight. And it's hour, yeah. And it's, I'm going to just have to call it the power hour, y'all. The power hour coming up. We have a classic lecture. You know, it's only like 28 minutes, but y'all know how. 28 minutes is a powerhouse. When you come in with some hardcore, you come in with something, y'all, that's real controversial, something that's coming with it, y'all, with some flames coming out of it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to take it back, y'all, to one of the greatest student teachers. I said student teacher and great lecturer, great speaker that of our times. We're going to talk about tonight, y'all. We're going to bring in right here the brother Malcolm X, y'all, in the house tonight. Talking about, y'all, hey, this still prevalent right here in these days and time. Talking about the house Negro and the field Negro. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, y'all. The house Negro and the field Negro. Malcolm X in the house. You know, just briefly going into that subject. Because, see, some people have forgotten about the house Negro. Some people forgotten about these field Negroes. Huh, because we still have them right out here today, right here in America, y'all, in 2012. We still have those house Negroes. We might call them today house niggas. Now, yeah, what I'm talking about, the Boule brothers. You know what I'm talking about? These sellouts, as we might call them. We still got them in the house, y'all. House niggas, or house Negroes at the time that they was using the term to identify us as. And then we have those field Negroes, those field Negroes who coming out here, y'all, they turning over tables. Oh, they standing up for truth, righteousness, and equality. They trying to fight for equality. They don't give a damn if we offend you in trying to get our truth. We trying to get our equality. We don't feel Negroes. We ain't saying about yes or boss. We ain't talking about we sick boss. We ain't going for none of that. We talking about, I hope that son of a gun die. I hope that son of a gun choke on that chicken bone. Choke on whatever he's on. I don't give a damn. He did this to my people. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What goes around comes around type of brother. You know what I'm saying? We got those field Negroes who ain't buying down for a dollar. Who ain't selling out for a dollar. We don't give a damn what you do to us. We like baby kids. We ain't gonna die. We gonna multiply. Them real straight, hardcore revolutionaries. That's what I'm talking about, field Negroes. So we're gonna do it, y'all, right here tonight, y'all. We're gonna bring it in the house. Brother Malcolm X gonna drop it on y'all. One of the greatest students that ever came up out of the Nation of Islam. Just one of them. I ain't gonna say that. I ain't gonna just say just the great. But just one of them. There was, you know, some more. But one of the most powerful speakers at that time. The most one of Malcolm X, Brother Malcolm X, may the peace and blessings be upon his soul. I'm going to bring my brother in the house, y'all. Let's do it. Let's do it right here, y'all. Culture Freedom in the house. Y'all ready? Because I'm ready. Let's get it on. This show is always hosted by none other than your brothers. That is Brother Eric and Brother Sun Ray. Doing it right here on Culture Freedom Radio. How about it, y'all? Peace to y'all. Thank y'all for joining in. Let's get it on right here. Peace and greetings to your brother Eric. How you doing out there?
Oh, peace to you, black man, and peace to everybody listening and who will download us later on this Culture Freedom Radio podcast.
Yes, sir.
Sitting on over 300 shows that titillate and inform your mind. I'm your co-host, Brother Eric. Me and my partner, Brother Sun Ray. We do this like clockwork, like teamwork. Put a lot of work and effort in prior to even thinking about doing a radio show and trying to uplift our people. We was putting in work back in the day when we didn't have no internet. Huh? We had to go to the library. back in them days, y'all. But as we listen to this lecture by our esteemed brother Malcolm X, remember one thing as well. The field Negro can turn into a house Negro.
Ooh.
That will be the topic of discussion after the lecture. Lend your ears. Take in what you want to take in. So let's go in.
Ooh, you didn't come with that one, brother. I ain't really. You didn't come with that one, did you? Oh man.
Yes, sir. Topic of a discussion.
You flipped the script. Oh God, man, I'm ready. I like that one. You called me
yes,
on guard
sir.
With that one.
I thought you might like that.
Yes, sir. You got
yes,
me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We encourage y'all listen, and if you know anybody that's interested in things of this nature or would like to get in on the conversation, we will give the number out. Meanwhile, hit their asses up on Facebook, Twitter, all the social networks, and let them know that Culture Freedom's in the house, and we're talking about the house nigga and the field Negro. Notice how I said that shit. The house nigga and the field Negro.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So I'm right. Go ahead and take it away, beloved.
All right, y'all.
Let's get this going.
Yes, sir. We're going to get into this with 28 minutes, y'all. Talk with our brother Malcolm X. Well, it's actually 23 minutes, and we're going to come right back after that, y'all, and we're going to go into a little discussion, y'all, talking about the field Negro, or the field nigga, Brother Eric said, and the house nigga. And then Eric got one good for y'all. I'm ready to get into that one, Brother Eric said. Let's get into it, y'all, right here at Culture Freedom Radio. Thank y'all for tuning in. Let's get it on like this.
Let's get ready to rumble! To understand this, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the house Negro and the field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food, what he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, "We got a good house here," the house Negro said, "Yeah, we got a good house here." Whenever the master said "we," he said "we." That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick." He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, "Let's run away. Let's escape. Let's separate," that house Negro would look at you and say, "Man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this?" That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, "I'm the only Negro out here." "I'm the only one on my job.
I'm the only one in this school. You nothing but a house Negro. And if someone come to you right now and say, let's separate, you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. What you mean, separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa. That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa. On that same plantation, there was the field Negro. The field Negro, those were the masses. There was always more Negroes in the field than there was Negroes in the house. The Negro in the field caught hell. He ate leftovers. In the house, they ate high up on the hog. The Negro in the field didn't get nothing but what was left of the insides of the hog. They call them chitlins nowadays. In those days, they call them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes. And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated the master. When the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind, for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. You got field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. The masses are the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble. Imagine a Negro, our government. I even heard one say, our astronauts. They won't even let him near the plant. And our astronauts. Our Navy. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. Just as the slave master in that day used Tom, the house Negro, to keep the field Negroes in check, the same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Toms, 20th century Uncle Toms, to keep you and me in check, keep us under control, keep us passive and peaceful and nonviolent. That's Tom making you nonviolent. It's like when you go to the dentist and the man is going to take your tooth. You're going to fight him when he starts pulling. So they squirt some stuff in your jaw called Novocaine to make you think they're not doing anything to you. So you sit there and because you got all that Novocaine in your jaw, you suffer peacefully. Blood running all down your jaw. And you don't know what's happening. because someone has taught you to suffer peacefully. The white man do the same thing to you in the street. When he don't want to put knots on your head and take advantage of you and don't have to be afraid of you fighting back, to keep you from fighting back, he get these old religious Uncle Toms to teach you and me that just like Novocaine, suffer peacefully. Don't stop suffering, just suffer peacefully. As Reverend Cleek pointed out, let your blood flow in the streets. This is a shame. And you know he's a Christian preacher. If it's a shame to him, you know what it is to me. Because nothing in our book, the Quran, as you call it, Koran, teaches us to suffer peacefully. Our religion teaches us to be intelligent, be peaceful, be courteous, obey the law, respect everyone. But if someone puts his hand on you, send them to the cemetery. That's a good religion. In fact, that's that all-time religion. That's the one that Ma and Pa used to talk about. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a head for a head, and a life for a life. That's a good religion. And then anybody, no one resents that kind of religion being taught but a wolf who intends to make you his meal. This is the way it is with the white man in America. He's a wolf and you a sheep. Anytime a shepherd, a pastor, teach you and me not to run from the white man, and at the same time teachers don't fight the white man, he's a traitor to you and me. Don't lay down our life all by itself. No. Preserve your life. It's the best thing you got. And if you got to give it up, let it be even Stephen. The slave master took Tom and dressed him well and fed him well and even gave him a little education. Gave him a long coat and a top hat and made all the other slaves look up to him. Then he used Tom to control them. The same strategy that was used in those days is used today by the same white man. He take a Negro, so-called Negro, and make him prominent. Build him up. Publicize him. Make him a celebrity. And then he becomes a spokesman for Negro and a Negro leader. I would like to just mention one thing else quickly, and that is The method that the white man uses, how the white man uses these big guns or Negro leaders against the black revolution. They're not a part of the black revolution. They're used against the black revolution. When Martin Luther King failed to desegregate Albany, Georgia, the civil rights struggle in America reached its low point. King became bankrupt almost as a leader. Plus, even financially, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference was in financial trouble. Plus, it was in trouble, period, with the people when they failed to desegregate Albany, Georgia. Other Negro civil rights leaders of so-called national stature became fallen idols. As they became fallen idols, began to lose their prestige and influence, local Negro leaders began to stir up the masses. In Cambridge, Maryland, Gloria Richardson, in Danville, Virginia, and other parts of the country, local leaders begin to stir up our people at the grassroots level. This was never done by these Negroes whom you recognize of national stature. They controlled you, but they never incited you or excited you. They controlled you. They contained you. They kept you on the plantation. As soon as King failed in Birmingham, Negroes took to the streets. King got out and went out to California to a big rally and raised about, I don't know how many thousands of dollars. Come to Detroit and had a march and raised some more thousands of dollars. And recall, right after that, Wilkins attacked King, accused King and the Corps of starting trouble everywhere and then making the NAACP get him out of jail and spend a lot of money, and then he accused King and Corps of raising all the money and not paying it back. This happened. I got it in documented evidence in the newspaper. Roy started attacking King, and King started attacking Roy, and Farmer started attacking both of them. And as these Negroes of national stature begin to attack each other, they begin to lose their control of the Negro masses. And Negroes was out there in the streets. They was talking about, we're going to march on Washington. By the way, right at that time, Birmingham had exploded, and the Negroes in Birmingham, remember, they also exploded. They began to stab the crackers in the back and bust them upside the head. Yes, they did. That's when Kennedy sent in the troops down in Birmingham. So, and right after that, Kennedy got on the television and said, this is a moral issue. That's when he said he's going to put out a civil rights bill. And when he mentioned civil rights bill and the Southern crackers start talking about they were going to boycott it or filibuster it, then the Negroes start talking about what? We're going to march on Washington, march on the Senate, march on the White House, march on the Congress and tie it up, bring it to a halt. Don't let the government proceed. They even said they were going to go out to the airport and lay down on the runway and don't let no airplanes land. I'm telling you what they said. That was revolution. That was revolution. That was the Black Revolution. It was the grassroots out there in the street. Scared the white man to death. Scared the white power structure in Washington, D.C. to death. I was there. When they found out that this black steamroller was going to come down on the Capitol, they called in Wilkins. They called in Randolph. They called in these national Negro leaders that you respect. And told them, call it off. Kennedy said, look, y'all letting this thing go too far. And old Tom said, boss, I can't stop it because I didn't start it. I'm telling you what they said. They said, I'm not even in it, much less at the head of it. They said, these Negroes are doing things on their own. They're running ahead of us. And that old shrewd fox, he said, well, if you all aren't in it, I'll put you in it. I'll put you at the head of it. I'll endorse it. I'll welcome it. I'll help it. I'll join it. A matter of hours went by. They had a meeting at the Carlisle Hotel in New York City. The Carlisle Hotel is owned by the Kennedy family. That's the hotel Kennedy spent the night at two nights ago. Belongs to his family. A philanthropic society headed by a white man named Stephen Currier called all the top civil rights leaders together at the Carlisle Hotel and told them that by you all fighting each other, you're destroying the civil rights movement. And since you're fighting over money from white liberals, let us set up what's known as the Council for United Civil Rights Leadership. Let's form this council, and all the civil rights organizations will belong to it. And we'll use it for fundraising purposes. Let me show you how tricky the white man is. And as soon as they got it formed, they elected Whitney Young as the chairman. And who you think became the co-chairman? Stephen Currier, the white man. A millionaire. Powell was talking about it down at the Cobo today. This is what he was talking about. Powell knows it happened. Randolph knows it happened. Wilkins knows it happened. King knows it happened. Every one of that so-called Big Six, they know what happened. Once they formed it, with the white man over it, he promised them and gave them $800,000 to split up between the Big Six, and told them that after the march was over, they'd give them $700,000 more. $1.5 million split up between leaders that you've been following, going to jail for, crying crocodile tears for, and they'd nothing but Frank James and Jesse James and brothers. Soon as they got the setup organized, the white men made available to them top public relations experts. Opened the news media across the country at their disposal. And then they began to project these Big Six as the leaders of the march. Originally, they weren't even in the march. You was talking this march talk on Hastings Street. Is Hastings Street still here? On Hastings Street. You was talking the march talk on Lenox Avenue. And down on, Fillmore Street, and Central Avenue, and 42nd Street, and 63rd Street. That's where the march talk was being talked. But the white man put the Big Six ahead of it. Made them the march. They became the march. They took it over. And the first move they made after they took it over, they invited Walter Reuther, a white man. They invited a priest. A rabbi and an old white preacher. Yes, an old white preacher. The same white element that put Kennedy in power, labor, the Catholics, the Jews, and liberal Protestants. Same clique that put Kennedy in power joined the March on Washington. It's just like when you got some coffee that's too black, which means it's too strong. What you do? You integrate it with cream. You make it weak. If you pour too much cream in, you won't even know you ever had coffee. It used to be hot, it becomes cool. It used to be strong, it becomes weak. It used to wake you up, now it'll put you to sleep. This is what they did with the March on Washington. They joined it. They didn't integrate it, they infiltrated it. They joined it, became a part of it, took it over. And as they took it over, it lost its militancy. They ceased to be angry. They ceased to be hot. They ceased to be uncompromising. Why, it even ceased to be a march. It became a picnic, a circus. Nothing but a circus with clowns and all. You had one right here in Detroit. I saw it on television with clowns leading it, white clowns and black clowns. I know you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Because I can prove what I'm saying. If you think I'm telling you wrong, you bring me Martin Luther King and A. Philip Randolph and James Farmer and those other three. And see if they'll deny it over the microphone. No, it was a sellout. It was a takeover. When James Baldwin came in from Paris, they wouldn't let him talk. Because they couldn't make him go by the script. Bert Lancaster. Let the speech that Baldwin was supposed to make. They wouldn't let Baldwin get up there because they know Baldwin liable to say anything. They controlled it so tight, they told those Negroes what time to hit town, how to come, where to stop, what sign to carry, what song to sing, what speech they could make and what speech they couldn't make. And then told them to get out of town by sundown. And every one of those Toms were out of town by sundown. Now, I know you don't like my saying this, but I can back it up. It was a circus, a performance. It beat anything Hollywood could ever do. The performance of the year. Ruther and those other three devils should get a Academy Award for the best actors because they acted like they really loved Negroes and fooled a whole lot of Negroes. And the six Negro leaders should get an award, too, for the best supporting cast.
All right, family. All right. That was our brother, the late great brother Malcolm X, talking about the house Negro in the field Negro. But he went into a lot more, y'all, dealing with those so-called civil rights leaders. Talk about y'all cried crocodile tears over, like that. That's a classic. Hey, y'all, before we get into our topic of conversation, y'all know we can't play the student without playing the teacher. We got to play. I'm only going to do like right fast. I know we're not doing that much longer of a show tonight. So y'all just hold tight. Just give us like 5 minutes and a half. We got to play something from the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the one who, gave Malcolm X that wisdom, that knowledge, and set him on the path, y'all. So just hold tight for a minute, y'all. Bear with us. We got to play the teacher so y'all can hear where the student got his fire from. We'll be right back, and we're going to get right into our topic of conversation, y'all, right after this.
Showing you, my people, that it's useless and ignorant for us to camp around white people's houses and in their neighborhood telling them, let me have a house next to you. It's ignorant. Let us tell the white man that we want a house to our belt. Come along and don't try to prevent us. We don't want to live in your house with you. We want the freedom to live to ourselves. Since they waken to the knowledge of ourselves, knowing that we are the first and the last of that deal, the originator we are directly from, and the children of the originator of heaven and earth. You may say, well, me too, and no, you're not. We made you. We want to live in peace. We know that our fathers was once slaves. We don't want to argue this question. That we are your equal. We can't be your equal until we have some of this earth that we can call our own. Build these houses. You could take them away from us, even though you give them to us. We know that. We know that if you would give us all we ask you for in this government at the present time, we know 2 years from now, the next ruler could condemn
it. That's right, they're
changing the moment. Think over how evil this government is. They make a respectful law. It can expand over here if it wants, or they can draw it up if they want.
That's what they do.
If they think it's going to help you, they draw it up.
That's what they do.
That show you how evil the white man is against black people. Cannot trust them for a friend. You cannot trust them to live up to their promises.
That's the truth.
If their promises is good or in your favor.
That's right.
They won't do it.
That's the truth.
Hey, finance, I don't have to use Muhammad Ali for no example, because that back in 42, me and my followers was an example to you then how that the white man hates you if you go to Islam.
Yes, they do.
They hate you for
it.
Something strange that they hate you for going over to Islam, they hated all the prophets of Islam. In the past, they persecuted them and killed them, some of them.
That's the truth, Matthew.
You know that to be the truth.
That's the truth.
I can't understand why you want to integrate with them. Knowing these things, their history is written in black and white. Now, why you want to contend with them that you want to be one of them? How can you want to be one of them? How you want to live next door to them?
Yes.
It's not just because that you would like to be recognized as their equal. Do you not know you're making a very ignorant mistake and showing not love for your enslaved parents 400 years ago? You're not showing no love for them because these people brought them to a north. And we be the children from that which they brought to a north. And today, how you see them going over the streets, great heavy clubs in their hands, bashing the skulls of your and my ear.
Every day, they're on the
top. Day and night.
Yes, they do.
They're out there beating on the head
every
of
day.
Your brother or
every
your
day.
Sister. They have no respect for us.
That's the truth.
Only to kill you. Why you want to live in that neighborhood?
Sickness.
You should be running from that neighborhood.
Truth.
Since you've been trying to put yourself in that neighborhood, look at the beatings and death that you have received.
Dang.
Well, then that shows you that they didn't intend that you integrate in their society. You could do so among their lower class. But when you go up to their upper class, no. You get out of here. You are a Negro.
That's right.
And I hate you. And you are filth.
Every day.
And you don't know how to act in my society.
That's the truth.
Why you want to pull your own their doors then?
This is the truth.
This is to talk about you and fight you for coming to their doors. You don't see none of your people that you could go to.
All right, family. All right, family. Oh, good echo.
My bad, family. My bad. My bad. I had the wrong mic over. Oh, give me 1 second. Oh, my bad, family. My bad. I'm just talking away, y'all. I'm bad. My bad. I hope y'all can hear what I was saying anyway. Let me get Brother Eric back on here. I'm just talking away, family. I had the wrong mic open. I had the wrong mic open. My bad. See, that's what I get. I haven't been paying more attention. But yeah, family, I'm going to just go back into it, y'all. Brother Eric, your mic open. Thank y'all for tuning in. Listen to these classic lectures. Yeah, man, I got two things going on, and I had the wrong mic open. I'm just talking to myself. But tonight, y'all, we had, you know, classics coming from Brother Malcolm and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, y'all. Like, those were some classics. And the thing, too, like I said, I miss those days, hearing things like that. So I had to go into the archives sometime and listen to all those brothers. Like, you know, and get a few of them from the Marcus Mazzan Garvey. I can't catch nothing on Noble Drew Ali. Can't seem to find that. You get things from, like I said, Brother Man, Brother Khaled, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and all of those brothers who came with fire, Brother Fred Hampton, all of those brothers, man. I'm talking about those liberation teachers. I ain't talking about nobody just came just talking history. You know, Brother John Henry Clark and Brother Dr. Ben and all of these brothers and sisters. I mean, brothers and some sisters. They came with, you know, teaching the history. But I'm talking about those revolutionaries, you know, that got me. That's what I came up knowing, the revolutionaries. So I like that teaching. That inspired me. So I like to go into the archives and dig up and hear those things. And that's what, like your brother Michael was saying, what revolution is. Because, you know, we got people talking about they revolutionaries, but no one is ready to shed any goddamn blood, really, in a revolution. You know, he had a lecture, too, with a grassroots speech, where he was talking about what a revolution was. You know, and it's war, the American Revolution. When they had the American Revolution, hell, that was bloodshed. Wasn't nobody just talking. Wasn't nobody having no damn lectures in in D.C. and Atlanta and all that shit, talking about they was having a revolution. They didn't have no damn film projectors showing some slides on the wall and talking about this is a revolution. Hell no. They had them old rust-ass 22 rifles or whatever they had back then. The one they had to get the damn gunpowder, stick down in there and shove it in and get one shot off. Go in, fight some more, had the bayonets on the end of the gun. Man, they had bloodshed. It was a revolution. He said the only revolution where there's no bloodshed being shed is the Negro Revolution. Ain't that something, y'all? Even over in Iraq, Afghanistan, even today, there's blood being shed. You know, it's a whole different, perspective about what they're doing over there. But hell, revolution, there's still being blood being shed. That land is being taken. United States going over there, taking shit over there. So those people consider themselves to try to save their land. They in a revolutionary war. There's blood being shed. But I want to get in this topic Brother Eric was talking about. He threw something in on me, y'all, and I like that one. So we want to go ahead and get into that one. But we was talking about the house Negro and the fear Negro. But brother, go ahead and put that twist on it, brother. how you brought it, brother.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, Malcolm laid it out for you. But, you know, the field Negro can turn into a house Negro overnight. And you got house Negroes with, you got field Negroes with house Negro tendencies. Think about it.
Is it?
You got black people with house Negro tendencies, and I feel Negroes have been put in the house and they up there begging. Example: Barack Obama. Why I say that? You say, Eric, you hate me. Okay, but look. His brother won his second term doing the same thing that he did when he won his first term. Bipartisanship. Trying to bring two parties together. Okay, you try that in your first term. Now look at it. Today, I want to sit down and talk with Mitt Romney.
For what?
House Negro tendencies. You ain't got to sit down with him. Fuck him. This motherfucker said his state is going to succeed. And you want to talk to him? You kiss my motherfucking ass and me. Because I'm the motherfucking president. Look, if anything, you need to be coming to talk to me. Not the other way around. See the house Negro-ness?
Yes, sir.
Another great example. When Oprah Winfrey started telling everybody about cow disease and shit, they damn near shut her show off. But she highly believed in that shit. Right?
Yes, sir.
Then she shut the fuck up.
All the way.
House niggas. Field niggas turned house niggas. They didn't come from a well-endowed family. They worked themselves up in the ranks. Field Negro turned house Negro. Ice Cube. Let's go to some music. Field Negro turned house Negro. Ice T. Field Negro turned house Negro. Or house Negro tendencies with a twist. Tom Joyner. Field Negro. House Negro tendencies. Steve Harvey. Field Negro. House Negro tendencies. With a twist. Majority of his audience is white. Majority of his guests are white. What y'all think about it?
Good point. If you're pouring them out, man. Yes, sir. Want that. Pour them out.
Mr. Louis Farrakhan.
Uh-oh.
Field Negro. House Negro. Y'all, shit, this is the writing on the wall. Y'all can see it for yourself. I ain't hating on nobody. Not that I don't understand the complications that come into play when you get in this big ball game. This big ball game got players involved, and owners, and judges, and referees, and umpires. They can sit your ass down so quick. Jesse Lee Peterson, full-blown house Negro, out the closet and every goddamn thing.
Yes, yeah.
Saying so much ridiculous shit, it's unbelievable. Knowing he don't feel that way. And a human being on this earth feel that way. You see? Look at that syndrome. Your preachers, your mayors, your aldermen, your Negroes. Turn house Negro or have house Negro tendencies. See? This thing about liberation is ain't no joke. You don't sit up here and talk about the rise of the people and don't think you get no repercussions from it. And the higher you go, the more shit you got to deal with. Life, family.
Brother Harry, stay there. Brother Harry. Okay. We don't have to call me. It's got dropped. Okay, family, yeah, we didn't want to touch on something, but on Brother Harry to call back in. His phone got knocked off. This Friday, y'all can check us out for another show, another topic that we will have this Friday. We just kind of came in the house just tonight, just kind of sneaking in the house for a minute, y'all. But this Friday, you can check us out on our regular time at 7 p.m. Central Time this Friday for our regular air show. Man, we will have a show topic talking about, are you prepared for the fall of America? Are you prepared for the fall of America? We ain't trying to bring y'all no more Islam, because, hell, we don't really deal with that thing from that perspective anymore. But there's some things that we'll just go and look at. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a book out which was entitled The Fall of America. And he said that it is a breakup of the old world. The old world of things that was to come. But we're looking at a lot of things that even dealing with this election, how a lot of these states are talking about breaking away from the union. And there's a lot of things that's going on. I think, Dale Crock for sending that clip. Hey, I appreciate that. That was right on time. And actually, I'm going to use that clip for the show for Friday. So I appreciate that. I'll make sure that was you that sent it to me. Go back in the chat, check it out. But I appreciate that clip, man. I like that clip. That goes right into some of the things I want to touch on about this Friday. Are you prepared for the fall of America? What if America, these groups or these states, somehow, let's say for instance, let's use our mind, they do secede or break away from this union? Are you prepared to basically go for self, as Mother Honorable Muhammad said? There won't be anything talking about government welfare assistance and things of that nature anymore. All those damn fine things that we used to put, like government grants and all of these things. We got to start looking at a couple of these things. You know, there was a senator who actually, I heard that he killed himself and his whole family because he said he didn't want to live under the Obama administration for more years. Shit, we didn't kill ourselves when Bush crazy ass got in there for 4 years and then turned around and got another four. We didn't kill ourselves. You didn't see that happening with us. You know, no matter what president got in office, you didn't see us killing ourselves. Even though they said he stole it, Bush stole it for the first 4 years. Hell, he got back in there another four. We'll be jumping out of windows. We'll be jumping in front of buses and doing all of this crazy shit. No, we did not. We continued to do what we had to do. So, white people, y'all are going goddamn crazy because y'all looking at a black man is in there. That shows you. You try to hide your racism. You've been trying to hide it. Oh, but hell, y'all can't hide that shit no more. That shit coming out of you now. Oh, man, it's coming out of you like you've been drinking gin, like you've been drinking that gin and juice, like you've been drinking some of that old Jack Daniels that y'all drink. That shit coming out of your pores. I smell the racism coming up out of you now. So, hey, we're going to have to talk on this, y'all. Are y'all prepared for the fall of America? Yeah, I'm going to check the clip out. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think that. I appreciate y'all, family. When y'all come in here and give us information, a lot of things we're not privy. We don't get a chance to check out because, we do full-time jobs, so we're not able to check out everything. But I appreciate the information that y'all sharing, not with just all of us, but with the whole family. Okay, I got some Brother Eric coming back in here. And I appreciate it. I appreciate each and every one of you. That's what we talk about, family sharing information that we have. So this Friday, family, we're going to be talking about it. Are you prepared for the fall of America? Hey, it looks like it's about to go down, y'all. It's about to go down. We're just thinking right now. We're just thinking out loud. It might not. It could probably not happen. It might be just some shit white folks just playing their little games that they do. But, hey, as a people, are y'all ready? Are we ready to get up and do it? Finally get up and do the stuff? As the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had taught, are we ready to get up and start doing for self now? What if these white people, what if these damn people do break up and these white people separate from their union and all of this shit? a black people, we're going to just say, well, look at here, man. We ain't finna follow y'all ass. I ain't finna be following y'all with all this crazy shit y'all going to do. Because, number one, if y'all want to do this shit if a black man and you got in the office anyway. And I know some people dispute and say he's not black. Y'all people say he's a mulatto. He's this and he's that. I ain't any of them dramatic games and big shit like that. When I look at that cat, I see the same skin tone as I do myself. And the thing is, if they don't look at him as a mulatto, they don't look at him as being a mulatto. They look at him as being a black man. They not looking at the history where they say that his mother was white, his father was black. They looking at him as just average common white people that's doing all this crazy shit. They look at him as a straight black man. Or they want to say a nigga. They ain't into all this shit trying to scientific thing calling him a mulatto. They ain't into that. So if he wasn't black or whatnot, because they don't give a damn about him, you know what I'm saying, have a mixed breed, they wouldn't be putting hangman nooses up if he was a so-called mulatto, he was more of a white person. They wouldn't be having these hangman nooses. They wouldn't be having the watermelons and all of this crazy shit that they're doing if he was a white man. If some people want to say he's a mulatto, he's not black. He's goddamn it black, because we didn't see this bullshit going down with no other president. Even goddamn Clinton, which was some crazy shit. I don't know how black people, we fixed our mind to say he was the first black president. I don't see how we even fixed our mind and our mouth to even put out some crazy shit like that. So, hey, so I appreciate the link. Yeah, it says, man committed suicide 2 days after Obama's win re-election. And then there was also a lady, I think that was in Arizona somewhere, she ran over her husband because her husband didn't go out and vote for Mitt Romney. Oh, y'all white people, God love y'all. Y'all so goddamn crazy. Y'all prove that y'all the devil on y'all goddamn own. We ain't got to say a damn thing. Just sit back and watch y'all crazy asses. Hey, appreciate that, fella. Appreciate that lady. Go ahead, brother. Okay, he's doing on that. Your mic is over, brother. But yeah, they prove everything. Okay, this might be one. Let me check this snake out right fast, y'all. I got to keep on looking at his. Arizona woman blamed husband for Obama's re-election. Yeah, there you go. Appreciate it. Family, y'all on top of it. Y'all on top of it. I thank y'all. See, that's what I love about the family. Arizona woman blamed husband for Obama's re-election. Run him over with Jeep. Damn, this ugly-ass white woman. Somebody should have whooped her ass and ran over her ass. Ugly motherfucker. Forgive me, y'all. Forgive me. Yeah. Old Holly Solomon. 28 years old. Damn, she look hard as a motherfucker to come out 28 years old. Blame her husband for Obama's election. So she blamed him. She didn't like his ass anyway. She ran over for that shit. You can't blame that man for that. Let me start tripping, y'all. She blamed her husband for Obama getting reelected. You see that? The white folks, y'all sick. Y'all goddamn sick. How was her husband? One vote. How was his vote, one vote, made that difference? How do you know his one vote made a difference? It's just like I heard some people say, even though Obama got in the office, they were like, well, yeah, he got in the office, but did you go vote? Did you vote? See, your vote would have counted. How the hell you know my vote would have counted? How do you know that? Shit, just are you at the election polls? Did they tell you, I didn't vote for Mitt Romney. I was going to use that for answer since he lost. Mitt Romney might have had a warrant, Brother Sunray, he had took your ass out to vote. How did you know that? Did they tally up and see that my vote right here from Tennessee didn't help Mitt Romney get in the office? I didn't vote for neither one of them, y'all. I'm just straight out. I voted for the middleman. How about that? Whoever the fuck they were. Yeah, go ahead, Brother Eric. God, Blog Talk don't want Brother Eric to talk. Let me see here. They keep knocking Brother off. Okay, bro. Blog Talk, I want you to talk, bro. What's going on? You in the house, bro.
They don't like what I say. They don't like how I
sing. They keep knocking you out.
A lot of people don't, but fuck them. You know what I'm saying? Me? Shit. It was real. Yeah.
Every time I say, go here, for there, again, you be gone. I like, damn.
Yeah, it should be just like blue. Don't let that nigga say shit.
Yes,
you know how they do.
He's a rebel rouser. Mm. He's a militant thug. He's a rogue.
Yeah.
But look, you got people laying people off somewhere because of Barack Obama got elected again.
Uh-huh.
What's up with that? Dude from the man who owned that pizza place. Papa John.
Papa John, yes sir.
He laid on people because of Barack. It's been because Barack got elected. There's been plenty of them doing that.
Yes sir.
I guess he say, well, he affected my pocketbook. Well, shit. Well, as I see it, our pocketbook being affected ever since we came into existence and started working. And then taking from our pocketbook. You know what I'm saying? Field Negroes and House Negroes. It ain't gonna work. You think you can work beside a, you a field Negro and you can work beside a house Negro? That ain't gonna happen. First of all, you ain't capable of dialoguing with the house Negro. Because you're a field Negro. You didn't go to Harvard. You went to a little community college. So if you did go to college, you didn't get initiated into the, what do you call it? The fraternities.
Yes, sir.
So you can't make it. You're not in the circle. Stay back, field Negro. Now, you want to be field Negroes, want to be house Negroes, this is what you got to do. And keep your goddamn mouth shut. And play the game like it's supposed to be played. Or one, will kill you. Two, will put some false charges on you. Either way, you fucked. Unless you play this game. You fuck whether you're living and you fuck whether you're dead. Because we'll kill you while you're living. This is how we'll kill you in real life. We'll kill your character in the media. So play the game, nigga. Because you already know we boss. Because we captured your asses and you are under our captivity. And it's been like this close to 500 years. So you submit. Because I'm the God. The hell with Allah, Haile Selassie, Jehovah, and all your goddamn religion. You bow down to me. But the shit that I created that I learned from you. There's no escaping the grave. And they got grave keepers and grave diggers. This shit ain't no punk, man. We talk shit about our leaders and shit. And I do it too. That shit ain't no punk. Go ahead, Sunbury.
Yes, sir. I want to go back and, since we're talking about brother, well, we're using the names from Brother Malcolm tonight and Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I want to come with something right here. Going back to the message of the black man. See, I'm going back in the archive, y'all. I had to go back into, man, some things that got me started off, you know, with the message of, you know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching the message of the black man and things that this learning is. And this is coming from the Message to the Black Man, the book written by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the chapter was entitled The Persecution of the Righteous.
It was on page 207, and peace to you, peace, Antoinette. And this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had said. He was speaking about President Kennedy. Now, check this one out, y'all. Y'all tell me, now, people want to say this man was making up stuff and all of this stuff, but check this one out, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. He said here, he said, if you think because Kennedy said in 40 years a Negro man would become president of this country, if you think because Kennedy said in 40 years a Negro man will become president of this, of the country, he will become just that, then you misunderstood. Never will a black man be able to rule a white man in America. Mm. He was only referring to the so-called American Negro unity of his brother. But check this out. He said, this will make him strong enough to put a president into office, but not over white people. Check this out. I already said it. He said, but not over white people. Check this out. What did he say in the beginning? He said that he would be just that. If a black president come in there, he would be just that. He would just be a president. But he would not. He said, but he would not be the president over white people. And what are the white people telling y'all today? He ain't my president. Ain't that what they're saying all over the news? He's not my president. We just talked about it. They got an article in that first article up there where they're saying they're killing themselves and they don't want to be under his administration. A black man, I can't be under the rule of a black man. Oh, hell no. I can't see the black man sitting on the throne. I'd rather kill my damn self, my family too, my dog too, before I be under the rule of a black man. See what they're saying, y'all? Let's break away from this goddamn thing. Damn United States. Damn the greatest country on the damn planet. Let's cut this motherfucking half like a piece of pie, y'all. Like mom's apple pie, slice it in half. Ain't no more goddamn in America. Let's break it in half. You got your pay. You get your piece over here, Wyoming. And you get your piece, Arizona. Hell, goddamn it, Tennessee, Mississippi. All y'all get y'all piece. The hell with America. We look back on the past. It was a great goddamn country. But shit, this nigga got in the office. Oh, hell no. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go. This is what Elijah Muhammad told y'all. See, some people just thought the man was just throwing. He was just writing shit, just saying stuff. But he said that because Kennedy said that, y'all. Did Kennedy tell the truth? He said, just because Kennedy said it 40 years ago that a Negro would become president of this country. But Donald Elijah Muhammad cleared it up and said, that's all he just going to be. He ain't going to rule over white people. Because why? White people ain't going to stand that. They're not going to allow it. They're not going to allow it. That's why when he first got into office, they said that, shit, no matter whatever he come up with, that the Republicans, no matter whatever he come up with, we ain't going to allow that. We ain't going to vote on that shit. We'll veto it. We'll veto it like a mother. We don't give a damn if you want to help rich people. We not going to allow that shit. Hell no. Because we don't want the great idea coming from no black man. You talking about a man? You talking about people that we have enslaved in this country? An idea that's coming from people we have enslaved in this country? We told them they are savages. We told them they are nothing but crackhead, bitches and whores. I'm just using the language, y'all. Y'all, some people forgive us, and we were using these terms. But we gotta keep it real, y'all. We gotta keep it real. We're saying that you have been nothing but damn welfare recipients. You've nothing been nothing but leeches in this damn country. You don't amount to nothing in this country. So we gonna listen to someone and straighten out. Even though we messed this damn country up, but y'all think we gonna let a nigga get in here? This is what they say. I ain't calling him a nigga. But y'all think we're going to get a nigga in here and straighten out our mess? Damn, if we do that, he's going to look greater than we are. He's going to look black people going to look superior than we are. They're going to look to be like those people that we go into Egypt and see on the walls. Then they can really know that they are those people who built the pyramids. Then they can go back and look to see they are the ones who gave us civilization. Created civilization. Then they'll get back into knowing that if Barack Obama or somebody, they straighten out all of this economic crisis. They straighten out America. That Bush, Clinton, goddamn it, Ronald Reagan, and the other damn Bush, and all of these other, Teddy Roosevelt, all of them on down. that they fucked up their own self, and a black man getting in here and straightening the shit out, then they would know that they are the ones who invented chemistry. They would know that they are the ones who invented algebra, all of the good stuff that we invented and taught these crazy-ass folks, the Roman and the Greeks and so on. Then they really will have proof that they are the mothers and fathers of civilization. Yeah, we hear them niggas on these blog talk shows talking about it. Yeah, we see them on YouTube talking about it, but they ain't really got no proof. They ain't proven it today. They can't even figure out, goddammit, how to make a loaf of bread. They can't even figure out how to put a damn square meal together today. But you know these niggas, we give them too much. So they can't give them the man no, they can't give nobody no credit. So that's why they talk about him. Calling him steel. You know it got to be something. Like I said, people want to say he's a mulatto, he's this and that. But why are they still disrespecting him if they know that he's a mulatto? They know his steel is saying he's not a black man. Why would they still be disrespecting him in the way that they are doing? See, we the only ones really saying that he's a mulatto. We the only ones still saying that he's not black. They looking at him as black because the way they are treating him lets you know, goddammit, something wrong. He got to have some blackness in him somewhere in order for them to be treating him in a manner in the way they are treating him. They still doing him just like they did all of our ancestors back in the days when they were hanging them from the trees, you know, doing the Emmett Till thing. So, you know, we can talk all that shit. He ain't black. He ain't this. You know, we can do that. That's fine. That's dandy. Those of who want to play that game. But when I see the symbolic meaning of it, the way they're treating him, that's the way they treat us. They still treat you. He's symbolized, and I ain't looking for him to do nothing for me, but it's still symbolized in the manner of what they're doing to him, even if it's fake, that we say that he's worked for the system. He worked for the white man. But symbolically, if you figure that they can so-called do this to the highest office in the land, the man who holds the highest office in the land, which is supposed to be the president. You say no one disrespects the president. But goddammit, ever since he's been in there, he's been disrespected. So that only show that they don't have no respect for you and I still. If they can do that for the highest office and the man who's sitting in the highest office of the land, they showing you symbolically they don't give a damn about you. They showed you that with Hurricane Katrina. Look how they did those people in Hurricane Katrina. Did they do the same shit to, when this hurricane went up towards the East Coast? I know they're still right now. They don't have any lights. But did they call any of those people? Did they title any of those people refugees? No, they did not. Did they call them anything of that nature, calling them refugees? They're not saying that. They just people, the people from New Jersey, the people from New York. See what I'm saying? They didn't disrespect young people. There were a lot of black people down in Louisiana. There were a lot of people in Louisiana. But see how they got disrespected. But when they got all of this mixed pot up on the East Coast, they've been not being disrespected in that manner. They treated those people from Louisiana, goddammit, like they came off an island somewhere out in the damn Pacific Ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean somewhere, like they was out on a damn little raft somewhere and just washed up on the goddamn shores here in America. But see, they didn't treat them like that. So when these people want to say that Barack Obama, even like, I ain't taking up for it, but I look at it symbolically, if they can do that to him and disrespect him in that manner, you know what the fuck they think about me. You know what the hell they think about my brother, my sister, and my brother that have that skin complexion, that look like him, whether he's a mulatto or not, that he still looks, have appearance that look like me. Because I look at that brother's skin tone, goddammit, I see myself. I see my skin complexion, because hell, we about the same skin tone. I see the little waves in his hair. If he didn't put the goddamn pomade or whatever in his head, it'll roll up, goddammit, in what we used to call back in the days, cocoa shots and BB knots, goddammit. He had a high five on his goddamn head. Somebody understanding what the hell I'm saying today. We talk about house Negroes, field Negroes. That's what we're talking about. So, y'all, we got to understand what's going on. That's why we're going to have this show Friday, y'all. I'm telling you, y'all got to check this out. We're going to go into it. Y'all know how we do it. Ain't nothing scripted. We coming straight from the heart. Friday, are you prepared for the fall of America? Are you prepared for the fall of America? When the breakup, if the breakup comes, we're just going to say, fuck it. We going to let the white folk go and do what they going to do. What are we going to do, though, if it do happen? Are you going to help them motherfuckers even break away? Are you going to even help them break away? and rebuild? We built this shit they got now. Are we gonna be ready to rebuild? Or a lot of us talking about we need to get some land and do for sale. So when they get ready to break up this thing called America and secede and break on and get their own nation, what are we going to do? Are we going to say, man, fuck this shit. I ain't going to deal with America and y'all bullshit no more. We don't been through this racism shit with y'all. We got our own money now. Look at here. Everybody who want to get together, because we tell them how we got to unify. Well, let's unify. Let's get our own land. Fuck it, we're going to buy this land over here. Y'all can have this shit over there. This ain't America no more. We're going to buy our own land. All of the black people who want to go, let's get up. Let's get over here. Let's move over here. We're going to do for self over here. Are we going to do that? Or are we just going to get with everybody else and just go on with the white folks, sit back and let the white folks go ahead and get their petitions together, and we're going to let them get the shit together, and we're going to come in with the Mexicans and shit. The Mexicans to rebuild the shit. Y'all know how they the builders now. They gonna build shit up in 2 days now. Y'all know how the Mexicans. I love my Mexican brothers. Them some house building brothers and sisters. I mean brothers, some building motherfuckers. I ain't gonna lie. They gonna build the shit up. And they can build a whole goddamn city up in a week. And then we gonna come in and be the major brothers and clean this shit up for the white folks, and then jump in their warehouses and be right back as slaves again once they set up a new America. And that's what we're going to wait on? Is that what we're waiting on? Or are we going to get up and do some shit for our goddamn selves? See, that's what I'm talking about. See, it's time for us to start thinking. Because when they want to break away because they see a black man in the office, they weren't saying that shit, like I said, for the dumbass George Bush. I know they might say we disrespecting the president. Fuck it. They disrespected us. They disrespect us. So why should I respect you? If you don't show me respect, why should I respect you? You get respect. You get whatever you put out. So if you don't show me no respect, I won't show you no respect. They disrespect us all the time. They disrespect. When you disrespect my brother and my sister, can't leave the sisters out. I'm going to disrespect you in the highest manner. I'm actually going to disrespect you even more than you disrespect me. I'm going to piss your ass off so much, you're going to want to throw blows. You know, they used to say we played a dozen, and I don't like playing a dozen. But I'll piss you off so goddamn much playing a dozen, you're going to want to fight. So this is what we're going to have to do. If you don't want to be disrespected, goddamn it, don't disrespect me. So when I'm saying don't disrespect our black family, if you don't want us disrespecting your goddamn family. But that's what we got to start doing, throwing blows for blows. We got to make people understand we are not playing. We are not just here to do fucking lectures and around the city to talk about history. God damn it, we are here to make damn history. Our babies ain't got time to be listening to what happened in history when they need a goddamn sandwich today. They need a goddamn a banana. They need an apple right now today. They ain't got to worry about how you grew your fruit and vegetables back in history. What the hell happened in Egypt back then? And I love this, what happened. And I take what happened in history. But they ain't got time to hear about what the hell Khufu and all of them people did right there and back down in that day. They want to hear what Sun Ray doing right here today and what the hell Sun Ray going to do tomorrow. My child needs food for tomorrow. He needs clothing for tomorrow. This wintertime. I can't tell him how the goddamn pharaohs lived and heated themselves up thousands of years ago. He needs heat in the goddamn house today and for tomorrow. So what are we going to do about today? What are we going to do right now? We're so goddamn caught up in fighting over history that you don't even have even the proof to prove what happened. You know, we talk about the history, and you got all them goddamn Europeans and the white folks that's over there digging and doing the excavations. You got a few blacks, but you got all them motherfuckers over there digging and to put the shit on the History Channel for you to come and argue about. You to be able, like the what if the motherfucker that died, Leaky them, all of them people. They dig up your shit and give you your history and then you fight over it. Come on, man. We're going to fight over it. Let's get our ass out there with some shovels, some picks and shovels, and dig up and do our own shit. First of all, they have no business over there digging in the damn first place because that is not their ancestors. We're not, I tell you what, let's do this here. Let's make it even Stephen, as Brother Malcolm said earlier. Let's go to England, y'all. Let's go over to England. Let's dig up King George and all them motherfuckers. Let's go over there and dig up, what's that other fool name that hit the Bible? Damn.
I can't think of the goddamn fool name. Was it Brother Frank? King James. There you go. Let's dig up King James over there, y'all. Ask him why he had to translate the Bible. Let's dig up William Shakespeare. Let's go dig up all them people like that. Alexander the Great. Let's dig him up. Let's put his ass in a museum somewhere. Let's go dig up all of those people. They're doing it to ours. And did they say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Why they digging up our people, putting them in museums, taking King Tut, all of these people on tour. They're taking them on tour like they the goddamn Jackson 5, like they New Edition or something. You know what I'm saying? Like they Nicki Minaj and taking all our sisters on tour. They passed on to the afterlife, but they body now. They're digging them up, taking them on tour, y'all. I'm straight out. That's what it seems like. And we sitting back and run to the museum. No one is saying anything. They actually even translating the metanetta, your language, supposed to be your ancestors' language. They'll tell you what it means. What's the full name? E.A. Budges, I had to have a look at the goddamn books. E.A. Wallace Budges can go in here and translate what he called the Egyptian Book of the Dead. It's coming forth by day, and they'll translate and tell you what it means. How the hell they going to tell you something that your ancestors left for you? But they going to go over there and subscribe and tell you what the fuck it means. And you run with it, and you're going to have a lecture. You're going to argue with it for what the goddamn Johnny Come Lately told you what this means. Come on, family. Come on. We got work to do, family. We got work to do. So when we talk about, I know we're going into a whole different thing other than just, you know, hey, you know, the house Negro and you know fear Negro, but we trying to keep it real in here. But hey, it is what it is. But like I said, family, y'all, we appreciate y'all. We got 3 minutes left, and man, we're going off the chain. We got 3 minutes left, but then we're going to get into this Friday, family, y'all. We're going into our deeper prepared for the fall of America. This time, y'all, just start really just thinking. See, these white people going crazy, y'all. Shit, I've heard about it in history, but I really didn't think that I see it. Well, these folks actually killing their goddamn self because a black man, a so-called black man, is in the office, y'all, and they can't take it. They kill their whole family. I know they kill their family. I just hear when they spend it to show up, Brother Aaron. Let me give Brother Aaron his house. But white people, y'all, they killing themselves, man. They can't take it. Don't shout, Brother Aaron. You in the house. I'm going to finish it up on this one, brother. We're gonna keep on going on. But don't y'all see? They show y'all something. Don't y'all see how powerful y'all are? Y'all presence are? The white people start killing themselves because they see y'all have come into power. Just think about this. If we come into full power as black people, I ain't talking about no sellout-ass mayors no more. Quit selling the fuck out. We come into full power. What you think will happen to white people? The motherfuckers will go on the Brooklyn Bridge and all the motherfuckers will be jumping off that motherfucker tomorrow. They be on the Empire State Building, jumping off that son of a bitch tomorrow. They won't nobody be on CNN broadcasting nothing. Come on, black folks. Let's get our shit back together. Look here, brother. I'm sorry, brother. I got like a Rashid moment. Oh, my bad.
It's all good, bro. They mess with my phone. But anyway, like you were saying about Barack being a stool pigeon, getting blamed for shit that he didn't even do, shit that Bush did, they blaming him for. Only president that I ever seen doing quote-unquote drugs, meaning smoking a joint. Only president, a picture of a president I've ever seen. And then, in the second term, marijuana gets legalized in certain states. So they're going to blame him for that. You know, they're going to put him on that.
Hmm? Only president that I heard about sexual scandals, a bastard Ray, from his mama to him giving head to some guy, or him receiving oral sex from a guy in a limo while in office. His mama posing naked and doing porno pictures and shit while in office. Look at all that dirt. They didn't do that to Bush. They just made fun of him because he wasn't articulate. He was kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart enough to pull it off, though. You got to give him credit for that.
Yes, sir.
But he ain't the brightest star in the sky. Hmm? Well, you see. And people put their faith in leaders and individuals like, man, they're going to save their lives or some shit. And you're the only individual that counts. Because the rap don't give a shit about you. Who does but you? Hell, your own goddamn mate may not give a fuck about you. You ever thought about that? Let alone Barack Obama? Or your spiritual teacher? Hmm? You can't halfway get your mate to show you some love. But you're putting all your faith in somebody you ain't never met, don't even know, just appealing to the eyes, and has a charismatic way of speaking. Which most people don't even understand what the fuck he's saying. Really, comrade. Most motherfuckers don't even understand what the fuck he be saying. You know what I'm saying? Shit. So it's all a big smoke screen. People voting don't even know about politics, bro. Ain't took one class of political science. Don't understand the science of voting. Hmm? Just vote. You see? Ain't no classes on that. Or if it is, I ain't seen one. I ain't looked either. But I'm just saying. Because you could cast your vote for your candidate, but you can cancel out your vote for your candidate due to all the propositions you vote on. Because you ain't read none of the propositions that affect your... Well, you might read one or two. Well, not even read. I take that back. You listen to the commercials, the info commercials, and radio broadcasts. It says, well, if you hold on Proposition 2, you will have more money and they won't take it from you. You're just listening to what they say. You ain't read it. So when you go vote, you just, okay, Barack Obama. And yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Cancel shit out right there. Because you're voting for Republican propositions as well as Democrats when you cast your vote. You just don't cast your vote just for Barack Obama. You vote for the mayor, state, city councilmen, and things of that nature. Aldermen. Maybe a judge if his term is up. So all these people talking about get out and vote and vote for Barack Obama, more to it than just checking the box and saying Barack Obama and just check every fucking thing else. No. Don't work like that. And democracy before they play the game for you and I. They already know who's going to be crowned king before the shit happens. Ain't no surprises and no mystery. See, they teach people to believe in a mystery god, one that they can't see. Is a spirit or a spook. They teach that something other than man creates hurricanes, storms, earthquakes, and what have you. Man does that. See? So you just go along for the ride and believe what's been given to you. There's that goddamn Bible for existence, some right? What the fuck you need a Bible for? What you need that for? That's programming. Don't nobody else need no cliff notes or no books. Animals don't need that shit. Why you need it? That's what we need. Did Adam and Eve have a goddamn Bible? Was they walking around with a fucking Bible and a cross around their neck? Genuflecting and shit? Did Moses have a Bible? Did Jesus have a Bible? Or a book, whatever you could call it, Biblios. Scripture, walking around with it, teaching from it. You heard of no such thing. So you see the smoke screen. You fed information, and you suck it up. Like a pig, just gets fed, never looks up to see who's feeding them. And that's how we are. White, black, Asian, Caucasian, what have you. Dumbed down individual. Eating processed food. That's what I mean. Fluoride in the water. And black folks talking about revolution. And they're killing you softly. Kind of revolution you talk. Why is it that conscious people are just so all of a sudden these days acting a fool? Is America on the decline? In the Matrix, you had to choose between the red pill and the blue pill. Red and blue, colors of Democratic parties. Which one will you choose? Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, look at this flag. The red represents the blood. The blue represents the lies and falsehood. And the white stripes in between represent the Caucasian man to rule. You don't want that flag. You're dealing with a whole deception plot on your mind. But that's okay, as long as you know what it is. It's when you don't know what it is. That's the problem. Because when you're awake, you make conscious decisions how to play the game. this Monopoly game. When you don't know how to play the game, you're going to lose every goddamn time. You see? You got to know the rules of the game, and you got to be aware of the game. This is a goddamn game. It's a stage. And we watch it. That's why they do rituals during games, and they do rituals in real life. Death plot, killing, massacres, slandering. That's what America is based on. Look at Petraeus in the news. Got his ass caught up. Everybody caught up with something. Everybody got some dirt on. Everybody got some dirt on them that can be exposed. Sometimes you just have to play the fall guy. Because you gave your oath. Y'all secret society members know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you need to study. Because this shit ain't no joke. The higher you go up the ladder, the more people you meet, the more associates you encounter, not friends. More people you got to deal with. You ain't dealing with your homeboy, homegirl. You're dealing with accountants, lawyers, investment brokers. Security. That ain't no joke, man. So when we come on and try to teach our people, we gotta understand one thing. It's fine to get emotional, but you got to be thinking all the goddamn time. Because you don't declare war outright. You don't declare war and you ain't ready. And the next person to come on this show talking about declaring war, I'm cutting your ass off. Because you ain't ready to declare no goddamn war. Quit talking like it. Quit talking like it. Quit letting your nuts hang and think. Or quit letting your clitoris stick out and think. Push that motherfucker back in if you got to. Shit. It ain't time to get busy. Put this shit up. Get you a rag and dry your limb lines. But anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
It's time to be thinking and conscious of what's going around in your surroundings. If you see a fool, you gonna let that fool know that you recognize he a fool? Or are you gonna observe this fool and watch him? Just in case you gotta get in his bank. Let a fool be a fool. Watch. Sometimes we're tricked into giving out our game plan, especially when someone comes in with just a mere utterance of a word. There's no need. to show your power. Go back in the scripture, which I said is convoluted and twisted. There was God showing his hand, the hiding of his power. Hide your power. And if you don't know how to hide your power, just shut the hell up. Because as days go on and as these years progress, it's going to be even more difficult to express yourself. Mind what I tell you. It may go out one ear or the other, but remember you heard it here on Culture Freedom Radio. Mind what I tell you. As the years go on, you're going to see a subtle change. And if you don't pay attention, it's your ass. We done told the family almost a year ago about Facebook, posting your personal thoughts on Facebook. Did they listen some, right?
No, sir.
Keep on doing it. Because we didn't do the whole show. Keep on doing it. And as the year progresses, the years to come, you're going to see field Negroes turning in the house next week. You're going to see some more. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, brother, let me say this, my friend. And I want to play a clip from one of my favorite house niggas. I got to play a clip from him, too many clips from my favorite house nigga. And I want to put that right fast. Don't forget, family, y'all can check out our sister, man, our great host, Sister Lady D, y'all, with her show, brother. You just speaking on it, the mind. You said about the mind. So just check out Lady D, y'all, her show, fantastic show, which is entitled Mind Magic, y'all. Mind Magic, hosted by none other than Lady D. Oh, yeah, right here on Culture Freedom Radio, Lady D with her show Mind Magic, which you can check it out each and every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. 9 p.m. Eastern Time. One more time, y'all. That is Mind Magic, hosted by none other than Lady D. Oh, yes. Every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You don't want to miss it. Check her out, y'all. Lady D. So let me get to my favorite, y'all, house nigga of the damn decade. Known to y'all as, I don't know if y'all know him, but Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson. Sit back and enjoy this 2-minute clip, y'all, and we'll be right back after this one.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestors way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough. But, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough. The pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffer as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man, the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
All right, family. Now, y'all can see why I said this is my favorite house nigga. And I said it, y'all. I said what Brother Malcolm said. This is my favorite house nigga. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Uncle Ruggles don't have nothing on this cat. But if they based the character of Uncle Ruggles off of anybody, I would surely say they based that off of Jesse Lee Peterson. That is your modern day Uncle Ruckus in the damn flesh. That is, y'all. If y'all don't know who that is, it's Reverend. And damn, he had on the first part of his name too, Reverend, yeah, Jesse Lee Peterson. How would y'all like to be sitting in his church? Oh, yeah, he reading that Bible to y'all. Quote some scriptures to you. Oh, yeah, he telling y'all, obey your master. That's his favorite damn subject in the Bible. Obey your master. Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, y'all, give him up. My goddamn favorite house nigga. He get an Oscar, y'all. He get a goddamn black Oscar at that. Platinum gold Oscar from me. Jesse Lee, gotta love it. Gotta love it. That cat crazy as hell, I tell you. Hey, family, yeah, we only like 8 minutes, but I don't know, brother, you we might want to go for a 3 seconds, or well, 3 minutes, brother, because I know we've been kind of getting in, kind of like this tonight.
Yeah, we'll go a few more minutes, and then we'll call at them on Friday.
Yeah, about 15 more, y'all.
Because I don't want to bore the people, you know what I'm saying?
15 on the board. All right, family, we'll give y'all 15 more. 347-850 is the number you can call in. We'll go over about 15 minutes, so you can call up and hit us up at 347-850-8030. We have like 7 minutes left live in the show. But we can go in, y'all, and just chit-chat a little bit more, y'all. Talk about different house negroes and, you know, things of this nature. Yeah, damn, I like to call a couple more house niggas out. But I'm sure y'all know some. I wish y'all could tell me some. I see we do have a call in here, like a 347.
Oh, somewhere. Before you bring in a call.
Go ahead, bro.
Right,
go ahead. Yes, sir. Go ahead, bro.
Look, let me give you an example right quick.
Yes, sir.
Of freedom. Harriet Tubman.
Hmm.
She wasn't standing on no soapbox teaching. She was laying low in the cut, trying to get your ass and wake you up. She wasn't broadcasting on no goddamn platform. Freedom is secret. Freedom ain't broadcast. Study your history. Ain't broadcast. Ain't no extra, read all about it. We finna be free. No, sir. Never in history. Go ahead to the phone caller, beloved.
Yes, sir. Oh, okay. I just want to do one thing. Oh, call. I'm going to come right at you. As I said, Jesse Lee Peterson, I gave a comparison to Jesse Lee Peterson. Call him one. He hold for 1 minute and 30 seconds. Let me give y'all a little comparison of Jesse Lee Peterson to who I compared him to. And call. I'm going to come right at you.
I read your Facebook suicide note, man. Oh, I'm really sorry.
I'm not just giving up on Facebook. I'm giving up on women. It's pointless. These women out here are insane.
Robert. The key to happiness is to eliminate all black women from your life. I mean, look at me. No black women in my life. Look how happy I am. I'm happy as a nigga with a new gun.
Now, Ruckus, that is preposterous.
Oh, preposterous. Preposterous. Really? Really? Answer me a question. Is you happy?
Sure am.
Uh-huh. See? No black women in his life neither. Nigga free, and that's how he need to be.
Just because I'm married to a white woman doesn't mean there's a single thing wrong with black women.
True.
but you did marry a white woman.
You have to find the woman who makes you happy, Robert.
Well, black women don't want to be happy. They squeeze out about 7 or 8 of them little nappy-headed chillin' by the time they 21. It's all downhill from there. Look, oh, that woman's body over there, that's a temple. A black woman's body is a temple of doom. When was the last time you saw a black woman jogging, Robert? Ask yourself that question. And I ain't talking about them super steroided she-males in the Olympics that tuck their testicles up either.
Well, come to think of it.
That's what I thought. You ain't never seen it. Because black women don't jog. That way they don't sweat out all them industrial strength, toxic Avenger chemicals they use to straighten out their hair.
Sarah loves to jog.
But of course she does. Sarah is a human being.
Okay, fellas, enough of the guy talk, jibber jabber, talky talk. Can we just start running already? Come on!
You coming?
I ain't running with y'all two niggas in the park. Police might shoot me by mistake. See you on the other side, nigga!
All right, y'all. Y'all gotta love it. Gotta love it. Uncle Ruckus, y'all. Jesse Lee Peterson, Jr. All right. Let me get to the caller. Peace to you, caller. How you doing out there? Welcome in to Culture Freedom Radio with Brother Eric and Brother Sunray. How you doing?
How you doing, Brother Eric, Brother Sunray? Can you hear me? You got me?
Yes, yes. Got you loud and clear.
All right, this Rob, man, how you feeling? That Jesse Lee Peterson, man, I just got to the show. I didn't come to the beginning. But the Jesse Lee Peterson, I found a lot more clips than that, man. The Sean Hannity one, and every time he's on CNN, and then all the clips, he's got a bunch of them in his church, showing them at his church. And man, you. It'll make you fall out and just hold your chest because you couldn't believe some of the ridiculous nonsense that he said.
Yeah. You ever listen to his whole show, a show that he does?
Wait. Now, I'm sorry. If you got your head on halfway straight, you can't stomach a whole show. I didn't have that much lick in the house to keep on listening to that shit. I'm sorry. That was just killing me listening to that. I couldn't do it. I couldn't.
It's funny to see. You can see him and you see the dark skin and you like, wait a minute, hell no. That's a costume he has on. That has to be a Halloween costume he has on. You have to. It's crazy.
He got so much love for white folks and so much hate for himself, man. And it's ridiculous. And he doesn't say that in public, but I really feel that one day he's gonna come out and just say that. You know, he's gonna be just like the Uncle Ruckus character, even worse. He's gonna go ahead and be even worse. You know, because Uncle Ruckus is a character, but this guy is he's a character too. So what am I saying?
Yeah. and he actually reminded me of that clip that was on Dave Chappelle when Dave Chappelle was playing at Black Klansman.
I got that one too, man. Just so much hate for himself, and he don't want to go ahead and realize
it. Yeah, but the thing that we got to realize, though, is everybody plays a character role based.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes into character. You see? Okay. Everybody ain't really down like you think they're down. They talk like they're down, but they ain't down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got their lingo, know how to use their language so good and manipulate their thoughts and minds, but they ain't down for that.
No.
Everybody plays a role. When the camera come on, it's showtime.
Look,
he has his own radio show. He has his own podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's wrote several books. He's wrote books on the Nation of Islam.
I think,
got a following. So it's just a money marketing tool that he uses to
profit
up.
Profit off the pain.
He's a tool to fuck it up.
He profited off the pain of black people, and he's worse.
Exactly. He's a puppeteer.
Just like the other Jesse. I mean, I'm here in Chicago. I mean, and Jesse's son about to go to Jesse Jr. about to go to jail. So he all of a sudden he got some mental issues. I mean, hey, yeah. I done been to jail. A lot of brothers and sisters been in jail. You know, he should deal with it, and he's in an area where he should be preventing that. Now he's about to go through the system, so I ain't got no support for him. I think he's getting what he deserves. Send his ass away for about 30, 40 years. I can get him a couple of boyfriends and let him wear lipstick and tie a shirt in a knot.
Yeah. And wear them flip flops.
Yeah. Man, I can't wait to. I want to see the pictures when they got him dressed up with his earrings and everything. And bring them.
Yeah, because they're going to bring the pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Because a lot of them, if he had stood up, a lot of them brothers and sisters wouldn't be in jail. Okay, he gonna get what he deserves, and all of them just going ahead and profiting off the pain of black folks, and I think they gonna get he gonna get what he deserves. He probably get out and do something better. And now it reminds me, OJ, you think OJ changed his tune when he been in jail? Is he gonna be right working with the Nation of Islam when he get out?
I don't know. I can't speak on it. I'm just watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Just watching. You know, because we never know what goes behind the scenes. Yeah. You never know. You're dealing with, you're on a higher pay scale, you know different people, you're associated with different shit. You don't act accordingly. That's your ass.
Jesse Jackson Sr. is prime example of profiting off the black people's pain. Same people he's supposed to represent, he's going ahead and putting money in his pocket, and people don't, and not too many people are questioning it or make it's not put out there. But how do you get so rich going ahead and supposed to be a defender of black people? But, oh, no, you're not.
Because he's obedient. He's an obedient nigga.
No, he's in the
he's an obedient nigga. That's why he gets, he's funded by the government, man.
I was,
you don't have to raise no fucking money. You ever seen Jesse Jackson out there saying, I need some donations and shit?
Oh, man. He'd be
to fund his Rainbow Coalition? He's funded. He's 503C.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. He's getting paid.
I'd say he's an ass kisser extraordinaire. That's cool.
Oh, shit. He's getting paid?
Didn't pay.
I'm just telling you. It's a game.
Like I said, I live in Chicago, man.
Don't fault him for knowing the game and you believing in the game. The game is to be sold, not told. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Well, I'm starting a whole new game. That's dumb.
As far as he's concerned. He don't give a fuck about nothing he's talking about. Switching around with his wife and talking about black liberation and you emitting your seed and causing your seed to have a dysfunctional relationship throughout life. Come on, man. You really give a fuck? You just a nigga with some money and you fucking bitches. Just what happened, you made one bitch mad, she told on you. But that ain't the only one he got.
Oh, you know what, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't think it is.
Because, look at Petraeus. Look at all these motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. When you get money, things come your way. And you indulge in things, okay? That you may not be proud of. That's your dirty laundry.
Well,
that at some point in time, some of that shit gonna leak out. It's kept in the dark, gonna come to light, and it's gonna manifest when light shows on it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think in Jesse Jackson Sr.'s case, it was all that young pussy he was getting. That's what it is.
Well, so you know, they saying he's bipolar or some shit he got going on.
They're going to come up with it. They're going to come up with
it. Because he's playing a role right now. He's trying to be slick. Cause he got some shit on him that's going to come out. So he's playing stupid right now. They're going to lock his motherfucking ass up. Quiet as care. Watch what I say.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
Hey, you get free health care and shit. All of a sudden,
oh, he's been suffering from this for years, and he ain't been. Man,
they can go to the doctor anytime the fuck they want to. That should come to their motherfucking house or their office.
Thanks.
Tell y'all. But I'm going to end on this note. Y'all join us Friday. Unless somebody got something else you want to say.
No, we good, brother. We got to get out
well,
of here.
We get into this United States so-called America type thing. And are you worthy to be a part of it? And is it falling before your eyes?
Mm-hmm. Better go ahead and get you.
Today and well last week, Black Ops came out for the Xbox and PlayStation. Well, Black Ops got they hiring people who master the video game to work for the military. Come with a little drone plane if you got enough money to buy the game and the drone to come with it. They'll fly. They can take pictures and shit. It comes with a little drone plane. The game. The video game. Remember, I was talking to you about that today, son, right?
Yeah.
Government got elite got the slaves watching the slaves. Hmm? House Negro, Field Negro. And I'm going to end on that. In some way, I just like to tell the people to go on the website, culturefreedomradio.com. Go back and listen to our archives. 304 Power Pack show. We don't play when we get on here. Facebook us. Friend us on Facebook. Let everybody know who's like-minded and into this type of shit, come on in and engage in the conversation. And on that note, I'm going to turn it over to my brother Sunray.
Yes, sir. Brother, yeah, we thank everybody for tuning in with us right here on Culture Freedom Radio. Much love to y'all. Thank y'all for supporting us. We're going to do it like this here. Brother, brother, call on the line. You got some words of encouragement you want to leave us with, brother?
Just stick with what you're doing, brothers. Y'all doing a good job. For people that's out there, man, go ahead, stop buying your own farms and grow your own shit because they're about to kill you if they ain't already put you in a position to make you want to kill yourself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate it. We're going to end on that note, y'all. Next time, see y'all Friday with a show topic. Are y'all prepared for the, are you prepared for the fall of America? We out of here, family. Much love. We out.
Machiavellian is Illuminati all through your body. The blow's like a 12-gauge shot.
Feel me? And God said he's descended one begotten son to lead the wild into the ways of the man. Follow me. Killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy next to getting pussy. Picture paragraphs unloaded. Wise words being quoted. Beat the weakness in the rap game and sold it. Bow down, pray to God, hope promise when they listen, they'll pay attention. Best believe, Father, I'm a ghost. These killing fields, Hail Mary, catch me. If I go, don't go deep inside the solitary mind of a madman. Screams in the dark, evil lurks, enemies see me flee. Activate my hate, let it break to the flame. Section, empty out my clip, never stop to aim. Some say the game is all corrupted, fuck finish shit. Stuck, niggas are sucky if we bust out this shit. Blood, mama told me never stop until I bust a nut. Fuck the world and they can't adjust. It's just a swell. Hail Mary, quick see. Hail Mary, nigga, run quick see. What should we have here now? You want to ride or die? Back with promise makers, never realized the precious time that bitch niggas is wasting. Institutionalized, I live my life a product, made it crumble. I'm too hard for a smile, way too crazy to be humble. We ballin', catch me proper, please, cause I'm falling in the liquor store, that's the Hennessy out here calling. Can I get some more? Hell, till I reach hell, I ain't scared. Mama checking in my bedroom, I ain't there. I got a head with no screws in it. What can I do? One life to live, but I got nothing to lose, just me and you. On a one-way trip to prison, selling drugs, we all wrapped up in this living. Like the studs to my homeboys and Clint Max, doing they bid. Raise hell to this real shit, and feel this. When they turn out the lights, I'll be there in the dark. Let me turn them through my heart. Now Hail Mary, nigga, come with me. Hail Mary, nigga, run quick, see. What do we have here now? Do you wanna ride or die? La da 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 da.
Coming with slugs. Peep the whole scene and whatever's going on around me. Brain kinda cloudy, smoked out, feeling rowdy, ready to wet the party up. And whoever in that motherfucker, nasty new street slugger, my heat, deep suckers on the regular, mashing in a stolen black act. Integra, cock back, sticky seconds to the draw, that's when I'm dead in your feet first. You got a nice gap, but my heat's worse. From a thug to preaching church, I gave you love, now you eating dirt, needing work. And I ain't the nigga to put you on, cause word is born. When I was broke, I had to hustle till dawn, that's when the sun came up. It's only one way up, hold your head, stay up. So all my niggas, get your pay your weight up.
If it's on, then it's on. We break, he breaks, outlaws on the paper chase. Can you relate to the shit I don't got? Be the shit I gotta take. Dealing with fake, but with God, don't want to date. If it's on, then it's on. We break, he breaks, outlaws on the paper chase. Can you relate to the shit I don't got? Be the shit I gotta take. Dealing with fake, but with God, don't want to date. Like a bullet, Hail Mary,
Hail Mary.
We won't worry, everything will hurry. Bring life up from the tree. We won't worry, everything will hurry. Yes, we bring life up from in the tree. We're running from the penitentiary. This is the time for we leave. Hail Mary, Hail Mary.
Westside, Outlaws, Machiavelli the Don, Solo.